2020 Downtown Advisory Board. We'll start with roll call.
It's still cooking.
So, don't see him yet. Is Joshua K here?
All right then.
Okay, not yet. So, here we go. Everybody, I'm here. 24th, Hillary Holman, 2020 Downtown Advisory Board. Not present. Vincenzo Maduri.
Present.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Tyson Giza.
Here.
All right, thank you. Charles Weathers.
Present.
Thank you. Brad Compton.
Here.
Scott McLeod. Said he cannot make it. Linda Nishioka.
Present.
Dane Nabukdabin. Lori Miller. And Josh K. All right. Thanks, everybody. And approval of the agenda. Would someone like to make a motion?
Erin?
Oh, yes.
Sure. I guess it was my error, but the DAB subcommittee report is not an action item. It's just...
Oh. Okay, so we need a motion to approve the agenda with the DAB subcommittee report being moved into information reports.
Yeah, it's, yes, it's just a report.
Okay. Okay.
Move to approve.
Thank you, Dana.
I'll second.
Thank Linda. You, Linda. All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? All right. Thank you. And then the minutes. We need approval of the minutes from last month.
I move to approve the minutes.
I second.
All right. Moved by Dana and seconded by Vincenzo. Any discussion, edits? Okay, all those in favor? Oh, yes, Cherie.
But Vincenzo wasn't at the meeting, so he...
Oh.
Approve.
Oh, really? Okay. So we need someone else to second.
Yeah.
Second that.
Okay. I heard Charles first. All right. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? All right. Thank you. Moving on. Action items. Shall the DAB recommend agency board approval of revisions to the capital improvement grant exception criteria? Cherie, did you want to walk us through that, or?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Thank you, Erin. For those of you that were at the last meeting, I presented a action item to ask for your support to recommend changes to the exception criteria to the capital improvement grant program to add adaptive reuse in order to be able to have more money possibly available to a building that would not be able to qualify. Let's just take the Penney's building, for example. The Penney's building couldn't be redeveloped to include housing, and it wouldn't be able to qualify to get more than the $300,000. Same with probably the Nordstrom's building. And so in anticipation of hopefully someday soon, one of those property owners would have a project that they would need support for. This would make our grant funds available to them. At the last meeting, we had a discussion about had we taken a look at what other things might be available through other cities' programs that ours didn't have to help with redevelopment. And so this particular memo summarizes that outreach that I did. I looked at 11 cities programs in Oregon and acquisition was an item that was being proposed as something that would be helpful to a developer. I had spoken about why that hadn't been something that we'd ever had with our programs. The because the intent of the program was to be used to actually have something accomplished at the end of the day that would provide the benefit, not land that could sit undeveloped if things changed in the market or unforeseen circumstances. So I went out and looked to see if other communities had things that we didn't have, and if they had acquisition as something that their programs would support. And with the exception of two, acquisition wasn't mentioned in any of the grant programs. And in those two, it wasn't a grant, it was a loan. And so I guess I can stop right now to see if you guys want to continue a discussion, because basically what I'm bringing back to you is what I was proposing at the last meeting to make the changes to include adaptive reuse and some clarification edits to take it forward to the agency board. Dana?
Go ahead, Dana.
I move that we accept this recommendation and forward it to the agency board.
I second it.
All right, moved and seconded. Now, following proper procedure here, now's the time to discuss. So we have a motion to approve the revisions as presented here. Thank you for that report, Sheree. I think that satisfies questions in my mind. But do other people have comments or questions or want to discuss? I did notice in the packet, it's page 6 under mandatory requirements. Could you talk to the one that says, Sheree, that says project is characterized as blight as follows, and then it says, where I had a question was vacant for more than 5 years or designated as a derelict building. I just have a little bit of a question. Is there enough flexibility built in there to where, well, what if the building hasn't been, what if it's been vacant for 4 years? But we all want to move forward with this project, and we all, is that too rigid, or is there, and same with the question about designated as derelict, is there flexibility there?
Well, you might recall, Aaron, when we created these in the beginning, blight was a tough one. But we felt at that time that it applied, and I've used this as my reference point. We thought blight applied to the Marion Garage, the one that is now vacant. We thought blight would apply to a piece of property that hadn't had something burnt, like the Nishioka site. We thought blight would apply to even something like 217 State Street in front, between Front and State, where it has been empty, deteriorating for at least 8 to 10 years. And that particular building also had been designated as derelict once, because if somebody enters your building, breaks a window and enters your building, until you board it back up, once somebody accesses it, it can be considered derelict. So, but what's happened since we created this is that, let's say somebody loses their tenant 2 months ago, and they have a vacant, they lost a couple tenants upstairs, and they're thinking about doing something now. So they don't meet the criteria, so they say, can it be considered blight? Well, having a tenant gone for a couple months isn't really what we were talking about here. So I thought 5 years was a good benchmark, because when we put this together, all the properties had that for more than 5 years, had been underutilized, had been nothing there, had been, awful. So I used 5 years And I added this clarification because without it, that's why I was getting people saying, well, it's been vacant 2 months, it's blight. And it's like, no. And I always use the example of, we determined blight was something like the Marion Garage, where it had been, you know, people homeless had gotten into it, it had not been taken care of, it had deferred maintenance, not something where you just lost a tenant for a couple months. That's, and the building was fine. My building's beautiful, but I haven't had a tenant, so it's blight because I have a vacancy. And I had several people look at this thinking that's what blight meant, and that isn't what I understood the definition was to us. Now, always know that guidelines are just that.
Okay.
We can make exceptions to the exceptions.
Like the hole in the ground where the former Wells Fargo was.
Exactly. I mean,
there may have been a tenant there 2 years ago, but you could be flexible with that.
Well, again, if there had been a tenant there 2 years ago, but for whatever the reason they had to take it down, there probably would have been a reason for that. That one certainly would meet blight right now, because we've had a hole in the ground now staring at us for, what, I don't know, 4 years at least? So by the time
Yeah, I was just wondering if that 5 years is like super rigid.
But I don't
think...
I think it would be a mixed use something with housing, and they wouldn't have a problem qualifying.
Sure. Okay. All right.
Okay.
That's all I had. Anybody else, any comments or questions before we vote? Okay. So all those in favor say aye.
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 And opposed, no, or thumbs down? Okay. That passes. Thank you, everybody. Go back to my agenda here. So next is information reports. So do we want to go ahead and let Alan go first, Sheree?
I think that's a great idea. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Alan Dannon is going to give us a report on the police facility.
Can everybody see and hear me okay?
Everyone will likely miss some questions.
Great. I am going to share my screen here. Hold on. There we go.
Whomever that is, that background.
Sorry, that's me. I've got lots of school activities going on in the background here, so bear with me. It should quiet down in just a second. Sorry about that. In the meantime, for those who don't know me,
sorry.
Well, you're going to be a second grader getting tested for your proficiency.
We can learn two things at once.
Yeah, right. So for those who don't know me, I'm Alan Dannon with the Public Works Engineering Division, and I am the city's project manager for the police station project. I was looking at my calendar for the last time that I gave an update to the board, and it was August of 2019. So at that point, we'd been in construction for just about 10 months. The structure was complete and progress was going well. And we were just in the process of executing a guaranteed maximum price with the contractor, which meant that we had secured adequate funding for the project. And that, of course, came with a lot of assistance from you all in helping us secure some additional urban renewal funding, both for with the building itself and the offsite transportation improvements. So I remember feeling in August like, okay, that was a big milestone that we achieved, and now it's just managing construction from here to the end in September 2020. And I was pretty much right, except for minor issues of a global pandemic, heightened unrest in the community, causing additional security concerns, and being shut down for smoke due to wildfires. Other than that, everything's gone according to plan. So what I'm going to do today is just give you guys a quick photo tour of how the site is looking as of the last few weeks. I was in there as recently as Tuesday, so I have some pretty up-to-date photos to share with you all. Keep in mind that I'm not a graphic designer or photographer, so there's limitations in my video presentation here. But what we're looking at here is the webcam that is updated every few minutes, giving you how the site looks as of yesterday. We are frantically working to finish up the building, and so you can see there's a lot of activity going on in and outside of the building. The interiors are getting very nearly complete, so I just tried to provide a few snapshots to give you all an idea of what the building's going to look like. On the left-hand side, there's still temporary floor protection down, but it's one of the corridors through the building, so you can see that everything's painted, ceilings are almost done, and lights are burning, and we're getting close. On the right-hand side, there's you can see some of the furniture's been moved in, and the bottom right is the main briefing room for our patrol section. So in general, they're working from top down, so third floor is more complete right now than the second, and the first floor is where most of the activity is going on to finish up. Here's some more shots from inside the building. So on the left-hand side, this is the new evidence storage area, and I don't know how many of you had a chance to tour the current facility, but this is a major upgrade for our police department, where they can bring all of their evidence on site, store it in this compact storage. They won't have to rent off-site storage anymore, and they've got plenty of room for growth in the future. This picture doesn't do it justice, but it's a huge amount of storage. It's pretty impressive, and every time I walk through it with our lieutenant who oversees that division, he just rubs his hands together and says, oh, they're going to be so happy when they get all this organized. So a big upgrade for that group. In the middle of the picture is one half of the crime lab. So right now our crime lab is occupying some space out at the Willow Lake wastewater treatment facility, because they have lab facilities out there as well. They'll be able to move back on site with the rest of the department. So this is actually one half of their work area, with you can see the fume hood in the background and some of the equipment they have. They can actually segment this space into two basically identical areas. So if they're working on two major cases at once, that opening you can see there closes, and they don't have cross-contamination between the evidence between the two cases. So giving them a lot more flexibility and working space than they have in their current small space that they borrow from Public Works at Willow Lake. And on the right-hand side, it's not the greatest picture, but it does kind of give you an idea of the scope of the main entry. So you're looking down from the third floor into the main entry area where the public can come in and talk to our records folks, and that's what those openings are in the bottom right of that photo. So that's the one spot in the building where it's open from the ground floor all the way up to the third floor ceiling. Just a few more interior shots here. So left-hand side is this is actually the women's locker room. And this looks like a pretty boring locker room, but again, it's another massive apartment. Their current locker room facility is really inadequate, really small, and basically looks like you would imagine any high school or junior high PE locker room used to look. Now they have adequate space for storage of all their gear and adequate ventilation, which is something they really lack in City Hall right now. And you can see the ventilation both for the space and actually for the lockers. So they can put in damp coat, damp boots, and there's actually some ventilation out of those lockers to help dry them out for the next time they come on shift. The middle area is records. So this is where our records and reception staff sit. So as you're looking there towards those monitors that are covered on the far wall, those windows that I showed you on the last slide, where the public come and talk to our record staff, that's just on the other side of those monitors. And you can again see the modular furniture is getting moved in, carpets are down, and giving folks much more. I think even though these are relatively modest cubicle sizes, they're actually pretty substantially larger than what they are crammed into today. So again, trying to provide our folks the kind of space they need to do their work efficiently. And on the right-hand side, it's still in construction, as you can see, but this is the community room. So this is one of the areas that the urban renewal funding was instrumental in helping us outfit in a way that's going to help the police department. This will be where they can host public events, meetings, training events, that kind of thing. The blue wall on the left is the wall that faces out towards Division Street and then the intersection with Commercial. That's an area where folks can stand and host presentations or press briefings, and it's actually outfitted to work on that wall and the opposite wall so that the room is very flexible for how it can be set up for different trainings or community events. And there is some, you can't see it in this picture, but there's some larger doors that go out to the exterior plaza, so those events can happen inside and outside the building at the same time if need be. So thinking about like the police department's Halloween trick-or-treat rehearsal and events like that, although this year it sounds like trick-or-treating may not be as big of a thing as it's been in the past. Moving on, sorry Aaron, no candy for you. Moving on to the exterior. So again, on the left-hand side, another area where the urban renewal funds really helped us to achieve the vision out here, even though there's still some work to be done. This will be the public plaza area. Most of the concrete's poured, as you can see, there's a little bit left to go. The areas, I don't know if y'all can see my cursor, but the areas where there's gravel here and then in the back will be landscaping. This square area kind of public art will go. And then the stair steps here on the kind of bottom right of that photo is where the flagpoles will go. So when this is all complete in a couple more weeks, there'll be new trees planted, landscaping, artwork, flagpoles, and it'll be a nice space again to help host those larger outdoor events that the police sometimes do. On the right-hand side is another view looking at the building from the intersection of Division and Liberty. So you can see the new signal heads there, and that's part of the transportation work that Urban Renewal funded. As a reminder, we are converting Division Street to two-way traffic and Liberty Street as well to two-way traffic all the way down to Marion provide better circulation around the site. And on the next photos, you can see some more of that. The right-hand side, you can see the angle parking that conversion of Division Street allows for us. You can also see the downtown type lighting that's part of this project is going in. These photos are a little bit older, so there's more complete than what show here, but they kind of provide some of the other perspectives on the job. On the left-hand side, this is Division and Commercial, where we're reconfiguring this intersection to allow folks to make the right-hand turn off of essentially Front Street and into Division Street and access the police building. And I think the last slide, So this set shows the parking structure, which is on the north side of the building. So looking out from the third floor, what that looks like, and then a couple photos on the right-hand side of that structure going together. This is one area where we did not have a lot of impacts from the COVID pandemic affect our supply chain, but the parking structure, these precast concrete beams that you see here and the columns underneath them, were all made off-site by Knife River in Harrisburg, and they did see a slowdown or a shutdown of their plant for a while when the pandemic first started to show impacts, and so that did cause some delay in putting together the parking structure. And it's going a little bit behind the building as a result. On the left-hand side, looking out through the window there, you can see the canopies that are going on top. This will provide shelter for the police cars, and it's also where the solar panels for the structure will be mounted. So we will be generating some solar energy on site that will help defray our power costs with Salem Electric. And then lastly, this is just another view from our webcam from yesterday, looking at the back of the site. And again, the building's on track to be complete sooner. The parking structure and the remaining parking area here to the right-hand side, trending more towards the end of October because of those impacts I mentioned before. Just a little bit about what's happening from here. So as I mentioned, they are working fast and furiously. I just came out of a project team meeting talking about how they're wrapping up to finish up the building here over the next 2.5 to 3 weeks. And the parking structure and the site work behind it to the north is trending more towards the end of October. The smoke impacts from right after Labor Day essentially meant this job site had to shut down because of air quality for the better part of 2 weeks. And so that was it was like a gut punch, right? When we needed to really be working as fast and with as many folks as we could, we essentially got ground to a halt. So definitely has presented some challenges for us, but we are still tracking to hold the ribbon cutting once the building's complete, start moving in police department in October. That takes quite a bit of time because of all the various police department shifts that there are, and we need to maintain their 24/7 operations while making the move. So that move will extend through October into the end of November, and everybody should be moved in right around the Thanksgiving holiday, and the police station will be fully operational at that point. So that is what I had put together for you all today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
The one with the little light blue.
Alan, thank you so much for your presentation, but because I know some people are curious about the library, can you just give a little update on that too? I mean, it's not a UD project, but it's a community project.
Sure, I'd be glad to. So the library, we started construction there right at the beginning of April. Again, another one where, because of pandemic impacts, we weren't sure how things were gonna proceed, but the good news there was we were able to start on time with a guaranteed maximum price from that contractor that met our budget. Things have been going pretty smoothly out there ever since. They have not had any delays because of to speak of because of workforce or supply issues to date. The main thing that we started doing through spring and summer was the structural work to reinforce the library structure itself. So that means big concrete walls that go from the floor, the foundations, all the way up to the roof, three stories high. And those reinforced concrete walls get tied into the existing structure, and that's what provides the stability in an earthquake for that structure. That structural work is now complete. The concrete pours for that are all done. The concrete crews moved on to the parking garage for the library, and they're doing a similar retrofit there, the same approach, concrete walls that tie the whole building together and provide stability. Now, I was just walked that site again this week too. We're starting to build the structure back up. So we essentially gutted it to do the structural work. And now they're starting to come back with framing, the HVAC and plumbing work. They're redoing the downstairs bathrooms, which is a much needed improvement, both for ADA and just because they were old and kind of yucky. So that work is underway. New windows are going in, roofing. There's a temp roof on the structure right now, but the permanent roof will be going in this fall. And that all then goes to final finish work, like new carpets, painting, shelving, through the end of June.
Thanks, Alan. Is there going to be an opportunity for or like a ribbon cutting or an open house where if DAB members were interested, they could come and see the police facility when it's opening? I know with COVID, the numbers of people becomes an issue. So understand if not, but just wanted to ask.
Yeah, so there is going to be a ribbon cutting. As I understand it right now, the number they're working on is the gatherings are limited to less than 100 people. So it's I know the police department is working on how to structure that event and cover that in event in a way that can accommodate that crowd size but still get folks who want to be there or witness the event to be there. Same goes with building tours. I think there will be some limited opportunities for that, and I will mention to our coordinator there that it would be nice for the board to be able to take advantage of that. But the other thing I know they're doing is a virtual tour, so they're gonna do essentially a camera tour through the whole building, much better than the one I just gave you, and you'll be able to see it all in its finished structure that way, probably through the same outlets that they've been releasing construction updates.
Great, thanks. Oh, the path along the creek, is that going to be more or less on the same schedule as far as opening, or?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I meant to point that out on my last slide there, but you could see kind of where that path is roughed in. That will be done on the same schedule with the parking structure and the rest of the work, so around end of October is where it's tracking for right now.
Okay, any other questions or comments for Alan? All right, hopefully the second grade assessment went well. And well, and you can get back to it. So thanks a lot, Alan.
Thanks everybody. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so next on our agenda then would be the subcommittee report on UGM SAFRA on site.
Linda Tyson, do you want to open it or do you want me to open it?
You can go ahead and open it if you'd like.
Yeah,
you go ahead.
Thank you. So for all of you that took the time and completed that survey, Linda Tyson and I very much appreciate that. This particular memo summarizes the feedback that you gave us. It didn't include information that I had gotten from one board member that came after I had done this. And with that input, it does change a couple of the rankings, but basically the majority of them did not change with that additional information. So basically, you know, what this is saying to us is that there's a consensus on some key items that we want to make sure that we get across when we solicit the properties for development. The other thing that we've taken away is we want to be as flexible as possible and not be dictating what should be there, but allow the market and the development community to bring those ideas and projects to us. However, we felt that in the RFP document, we want to make sure that we share enough information about these items that you have prioritized in some way, so that if somebody really wanted to capture what our vision is, they would have taken those things into consideration. For example, let's say one of the scoring criteria to be selected is you had to do green building. But let's say we don't say that as a scoring item, but we say in the essence of our background and what's important to us that using sustainable materials are important. So obviously a proposer that speaks to that, that speaks to how we want it to be something that's unique, that if possible, you know, connects and has a relationship with other things that would be great. So we're going to try to include those items into the document, but not necessarily have those items be something that would kick you out if you didn't meet that criteria. I mean, there's some things that are just a given. You will have to have experience. You will have to have a development team. You will have to be able to say that you've done a project in similar size and for the level of cost that they're proposing. Those things will be part of if you move forward or not. So I just want, you know, some things are just a given and they were very important to all of you. And so we'll make sure that those are part of the evaluation criteria, but knowing that we want to keep the maximum flexibility in capturing somebody's, you know, ideas for that site that we might not even be thinking of. So Linda Tyson, did I miss something there?
The only other tidbit I would add is that out of the 5 respondents we had in the scores and rankings, some of the line items were just left blank. So I know we had discussed that in our subcommittee. So some of the scores could be skewed low. For example, the off-street parking or the green building, they were towards the end of the list and they were just left blank by some respondents and just got a score of 0. So just something to keep in mind, but I think we all agree flexibility is the main key in the RFP. So that'd be the only thing I wanted to add.
Well said. I don't think I have anything else. Thank you, Tyson.
So I want to share with the board kind of the next steps for us. So basically, we'll start building some of you may know what a request for proposal, you may have responded to those in your jobs, but it's a template. It has a lot of legalistic procurement contracting language in it, and then it obviously provides some sections to put what we're talking about, you know, where the site is, what we're looking for a vision. We can put some background information in it, and then of course there's the requirements, and you have to tell the proposers what the value of a response is for that. That's where the points come into play. But again, some of these are very easy to know which ones are going to be part of that evaluation criteria so that you either score and you're selected, or you would know why you wouldn't be selected. So we're gonna start working on that. I'll start putting some stuff together for the subcommittee. When we get a good piece of that done, we'll be happy to bring it back. And I'll have to check with our contracting group to see what I can and cannot do because of all the rules. But I should be able to give you probably not that document, but some pieces of it to give you a sense of what we're looking at and if we're on the right track. And then the closer we get to having the site control, we'll be all ready to go. And then I can share with you what we're proposing for a timeline and kind of hopefully when we'll have something selected. Any questions?
Maybe just to, for the benefit of the group, that timeline as far as when it comes out versus when the responses are due, it's probably going to be pretty lengthy, right? Because, or you correct me if I'm wrong, are you going to be asking them to submit their ideas and something that's fairly developed, and thus, you know, you have to give them something like 3 months, or is it going to be more qualifications and I don't
know. Well, we talked about that, you know, kind of at our last meeting, that you can do it where you do outreach to just get people that are qualified, not the full response to a proposal. The subcommittee feels that we can capture that qualification in the full RFP. But yes, Aaron, it would be ridiculous. I agree with you. It'd be ridiculous to want to have quality proposals and say, give it to me in 30 days or give it to me in 45 days, because it's a large site. There's a lot of things that they should be looking at and thinking about when addressing the elements of that site. And so I would treat it like I would want to treat it if I was responding to it. To get something valuable and of good quality, you're going to have to give them, probably 90 days at least to do that. Which is why we've wanted to get this done and be ready to go out so that we're not starting this process at the time we have site control, and then we add another, 3 months onto it, and the RFP process through our procurement, you're usually looking at 45 days. So we'll be ahead of it having this done, because we already know, okay, so we're looking at, 6 months, once the clock, once we're ready to go. So, the goal is to be ready when we have site control, and when obviously we need UGM to be done and relocate out of the building. But thank you for that question.
Any other questions or comments for Cherie about the UGM Saffron site? Thanks, Cherie. Go ahead.
When a draft of the RFP ultimately is produced, is that run through DAB to review and ultimately vote on to then take it to the next level?
I'm going to have to check with our procurement department as far as what role the board can play in looking at that before, because it would give an advantage, if you saw what was in it. But again, doing what we're doing where we're sharing the key elements, not the document, but key elements of it, I think are important. So I will be checking with them on that. Thanks for the question, Josh.
Well, anything that's in our meeting is public record. So, yeah.
Yes, it is. But actually,
either way, that could be maybe that's more than we want out there, or maybe that's a legal problem too. Either way, it's a little bit tricky. Okay. Thanks again, Sheree. And what's happening downtown?
So, Linda, I'm thinking you're the best one to give an update on the Nishioka building, and I'm thinking Charles is the best one to give an update on his. Do you have a name for your apartment?
No, if anyone has one, I'm open to suggestions.
Okay, then I didn't want to not call it by its correct name. And then I'm hoping Vincenzo can share what's going on in his building, because I've seen some changes happening on the main floor. I've seen a lot of cute little kids at different times running around. So I'm hoping he can share what's going on there. And then I'll chime in with what I know.
You want to go,
Linda?
Okay. So I get updates on the on construction. And due to the smoke, they did get a little behind, but they're trying to catch up and had been pretty much on time. So right now, everything still looks like it will be sometime end of December, maybe early January. We had a meeting on waiting list and rental unit.
Are you there, Linda?
Dramatic pause.
You cut out. You cut out for a minute, Linda.
Sometimes the connection is bad. It looks like I'm having a little slowness here. Sounds like the last I heard about a month ago, 70 were on the waiting list for apartments.
Wow.
And
that is great.
I think that there's an LOI in process for one of the retail spaces. So things are moving along very nicely.
Thank you for that update.
Amazing.
Yeah, really, really nice. So we're still hoping for late December, early January, if you missed that when I had the slow connection. Sorry.
All right, great. Well, I'll go. 990 Broadway, as yet unnamed. I'd like to name it after my daughter, but, you know, I have a partner. So we both have kids. Got to figure that one out. But finally got some permits and made it through the first part of just the site work. Was a little concerned that there could be some further archaeological interest, but thanks to all of the work from Kimberly that we kind of worked out ahead of time when they looked at the other side of the site for the Jason Lee house. This was the leftover part of that. Nothing historically significant. Again, thanks to Kimberly's help for coordinating some volunteers for that archaeological monitoring that made it go real well. And just got past that and are moving forward with everything. There was a fire that delayed us, but it wasn't actually the Beachy Creek or any of that. Someone set some stuff on fire right there on the corner during construction one night, and so took care of that vandalism and kept moving. But no wait list yet. We haven't really started any sort of pre-lease. It's quite a bit of a ways out, but plan to get that going in a bit. And the main floor commercial tenant is spoken for. We do have a lease in hand for an eye doctor, so that will be there. And when I know more, so will you.
That's great. Thank you for that update.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so we just got new flooring put in to, we're calling it the brick room. And yeah, we had a summer camp with elementary and middle and high school. So that was really great to have kids interact with each other. And we're putting on a production of 101 Dalmatians, you know, based on the cartoon, Disney cartoon. We're hoping to get registration up. It's taken a bit. We changed the time to 4 to 6 p.m. because, unfortunately, we didn't have that information that kids were getting out of school at 3:30. So we're going to send an e-blast with that change. So hopefully that will make a difference. So yeah.
They were so cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did the county take some space too? I saw some people sitting out front. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the courthouse is upstairs in the fourth floor. So that's been great. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good news.
And yeah. They're making a lot of progress on the riverfront with the amphitheater. That's very exciting. That's in the riverfront downtown urban renewal area, right?
Mm-hmm.
The old amphitheater was. I'm not sure if the new one kicks over into South Waterfront. I'm not as close to that. I know that they're also working on the restroom that is clearly down by the pavilion within riverfront. But that's a good question. I'm going to have to look. You know, Aaron knows more. They switched the location because of the Willamette Greenway, Aaron. Was that the deal where
yep.
they had to move it?
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I don't know if moving it switched it over into South Waterfront.
Yeah, I believe that. That parcel was part of the four parcels that were the South Block, well, they called it Pringles Square because it was four parcels, and that was its own URA, South Waterfront, I think is what it was called. Anyway, yeah, so it's actually not in our, I don't think they used any URA money.
There's no URA money. So, Rebecca, do you want to talk about your Abby?
Yes.
Great.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. So we were excited yesterday to have Abby, who is a University of Oregon student. She's in her junior year, majoring in planning and public policy. So she had her first day yesterday and came into the office, and it was weird to not be able to introduce her to the department like we normally would when we have someone come in and volunteer. But we're excited to have her. She'll be in on Wednesdays for about the next 8 to 10 weeks and helping us out with the North Downtown. We're just going to be doing an update again. Once a year, we typically go through and walk the entire North Downtown area and just to see what businesses are located there, so she'll be helping out with that. We also always want to be on the lookout for grant opportunities and financial incentives, so one skill set I think would be really useful for her to have, or at least have a teeny bit of experience with, would be grant writing. So she will be helping us out with a couple of small little like placemaking grants, about $4,000 to $7,000, nothing huge, but still good projects to kind of keep the momentum going in downtown. They'll be fun projects. So she'll be helping out with that as well. But yeah, so she came in yesterday and we walked up and down downtown. She has a specific interest in urban design, streetscape designs. Actually, she's helped out a lot with the city of Silverton and Eugene with their streetscape design. So it was kind of fun to compare what we've been doing with, you know, what she has been doing. So that's the update on Abby.
Thank you. Okay. So since you just brought up streetscape, obviously we are moving very quickly to get phase one streetscape improvements done. You've probably seen all the work that's going on State Street between Commercial and Front, and on the north side of Court Street. The goal is to get that done before the moratorium comes into play for the holidays, so we limit disruption to the businesses. I'm going to be honest, Linda, around your building, some of those businesses, you know, have been challenged because of the workers from your building, and now we're, you know, adding to disruption of parking and stuff there, but I still think it's a good idea to get in and get it done as soon as possible. And I'm working with the project manager, Michael Miller, in Public Works to walk around and look at the best location for us to, because we want to keep doing this every year, we want to keep the momentum going, where we would be looking at phase two. I'm going to be honest with the uncertainty with COVID, that will probably play in a little bit, because the last thing we want to do is create disruption for businesses, if possible, because of the challenges that they're going through. So that will make it a little bit more interesting to try to figure out where we're going to go with phase two. We'll be looking at those restaurants that didn't look to expand in the seating in order to meet their social distancing, if there's locations that are available there that we haven't done. Again, our focus initially was try to look at where we have the entrances to the park, where we have things, where private capital was going in, and so we haven't done like the south side of Court Street. We're doing, you know, between Front and Commercial, we're working on the north side, And so maybe we'll look at the south side as an option. That way both sides would be done and we would have connections to that investment we've already made. So that's kind of on my list now to be working with them so we can keep this going. Kristen and I have had meetings with representatives from the Nordstrom's building, representatives from Liberty Plaza, representatives from the Penny's building. And Dana was also nice enough to spend some time with us because we wanted to check in to see how the impacts of, to check on how the impacts are, how COVID is impacting those particular properties. And, you know, is there anything the city can do, any updates that we could get from any of them? And, you know, I think everybody is in a challenging mode right now. I think prior to COVID, there were tenants that a majority of these buildings had been working with, and then that changed. Add that prior to COVID, when you tried to bring a tenant down, you had some homeless issues and homeless challenges that were not necessarily helping make downtown the location of choice. So it's been challenging for downtown for sure. But again, one of your approval of the exceptions to the criteria is one of the things that we hope, if one of them have the need and get a bite or a fish on the hook to do something, we'll be ready to help in any way we can. So I think that's what's happening. That's, you know, that's all I know. And if you haven't been down Commercial Street, UGM has its you know, steel frame up, so you can see the progress that is being made there also, which is great. Is there anything else anybody wants to share?
Some of my neighbors downtown were a little caught off guard by the streetscapes, and they were talking to some of the workers, and I said, here, let me show you. And I brought them into my office, and I showed them the streetscape design plan, and they got really excited about it. But they were a little caught off guard. So I don't know if there's more communication we could do. I don't know how many other people are thinking that.
Are you talking...
the construction.
Are you talking neighbors by you in an area that we're not doing it?
No, on State Street.
Okay, so on State Street, just so that you know, a lot of investigation and outreach to those property owners was done before they ever went out to bid. I went underground in some of the, with property owners in some of locations where there could be vaults, because they really can't define their scope without knowing as much as possible about that. And then the manager on point for that kicks out a letter, and then the contractor, like just a few days before, Brad can contest to this, they kick out something, and their communication is like, if you had, what's a cold fish? I mean, it just says, we start tomorrow. I mean, that's basically, I read it and it's like, you've got to be kidding. But the one that the city engineer puts out is really good. It talks about the timeline and everything that's going on. And I think we did, I'm pretty sure we did a press release too. When we got from the engineer what was going on in the timeline, we did a press release. But this is one of the, for those new board members, you'll find this is one of the biggest challenges and probably frustrations we all have. We identify a project, we put the money behind it, and 4 years later, it starts moving forward. I mean, the Union Street bike-friendly, you know, improvements that we've put money for at least 4 years ago have not been even started. And so by the time they started, it's those kind of questions that we always get. I didn't know about this when they do all, it's just like streetscape. You have, you know, 8 public meetings. You go through all this process. The agency board approves it. And then you have to go through 18 months to 2 years, getting the design, going out to bid, and actually starting it. And I feel really bad because this happens every time. I mean, we give regular, I try to give you regular updates when I can, but the public, you know, they, it's always on the website, but I think, because Dana can attest to this and myself, I can't always find things on the city's website that I might be interested in. And right now, obviously COVID and last year water quality, that's what's front and center, those things to try to help and provide resources. So some of this stuff gets kind of lost in the background. But yeah, clearly we, this was our phase one, but clearly based on other feedback I've gotten, we ought to be able to do better when we do phase two, trying to circle everybody back and let them know why we're doing what we're doing. So thanks for prompting me on that.
Thanks.
Takes a long time.
Yeah. Yes. No, I'm excited about the streetscape though, and they are too when they actually saw it. I mean, it sounds like everything that was in the control of the city was done. It's just, I remember sitting in council chambers listening to the presentation from the original architects. I was really excited. But maybe the fuzz went away and then it's, oh, it's actually starting now.
Well, and unfortunately, we can't, it isn't one for one like what you see in the design plan. If we can't put a tree in a location, then we'll put them where we can to try to blend it the best we can. If it's brand new sidewalk that's put there for some reason, it's hard to want to rip up something that somebody just paid for. So we're trying to deal with all the little nuances. It's just like in front of 217 with that awning that had the, in front of Margaret's building that had the two, that had some poles in the sidewalk. And it had an air conditioner up on the awning. It's such a lovely look. That particular property owner wanted to keep those metal poles. So just more coordination and time, trying to accommodate different things with different people, even though that was in our right of way. We wanted to make sure that we checked in, and if they want those, then they can, you know, store them and have those. So it's been an interesting learning experience for sure, but definitely we can improve on the communication. I've heard that from a couple of people. So,
thank you.
I should add that on the Riverfront Park, the amphitheater, we are working on the stage cover that's going there, the Rotary Pavilion, and that's moving right along. They've got enough money. It's permitted, or I should say, yeah, did we get the permit? It's in for permit. We don't foresee any problems there. It's moving right along as scheduled. We're getting down to the little nitty-gritty details on, like, the species of wood and the stain and the color and that kind of stuff. So maybe at some point I can share some images or something. I don't have anything today, but that will be I think a big improvement for downtown. And yeah, thanks for bringing it up, Josh, because I don't know if everybody knows that, but they are adding, was it 50 stalls to the parking there? So the existing parking there, right when you come off State Street at Riverfront Park, they're going to be expanding that, so there'll be 50 more parking stalls. I think 50 was the number, if I remember right. So anyway, I think that'll be a big deal for downtown.
We love pictures.
Okay. Okay. Next meeting.
So, just in speaking to that, it looks great. You know, I'm down there in the park a lot, and it's really exciting to see how it's developed just in the last couple weeks. I think it will be good to have those additional parking places, because when I go there in the evenings, the entire parking, of course, they have to close that area, but the entire rest of the parking is full. It's amazing. Even the other day when it was kind of rainy, it's full. So anyway, it's good. I'm excited.
And, you know, while we're still talking about it, I know the city has mechanisms to help fund, and we do that through the grants that are annual to support downtown activity. It'd be interesting in taking away to see how DAB or downtown can help support that, the new element of having an amphitheater that is going to bring in hundreds or thousands more than we're used to seeing. So it could be the beginning of a greater conversation, maybe.
They haven't come. I think obviously we have a lot of urban renewal money going into public works projects right now. The police facility, transportation improvements. In things that we weren't thinking about, you know, things that address the homeless. So I think that they haven't come, and Union Street, I think that they're probably trying to be respectful and using, you know, whatever they get in, I don't know all the money that they use in parks, but I think they're trying to solve probably if they can. Now, I can tell you, if there is a gap, we'll hear about it. We'll hear about it. If it's in the URA, it'll come back and be part of the budget discussion. But, you know, this year, especially unless we get some more bond money, we have a lot going out this year to address homelessness and public projects.
Right. One more exciting future conversations to have.
Yeah. They're going to start up here again. I can't believe it. Oh, and just in case you want to know, Renee, who's been a part of the city for a long time and has been our point person for all of our budget discussions, this is her last week. She's taken a job at Business Oregon. So we'll all have to be patient with probably somebody who obviously won't have the history that she had on both the parking fund and Riverfront. Some of you don't know her that well, but those of you who've been on the board, like especially like Dana, she's been a part of the city for longer than I have.
So. Yeah, that'll be a big loss.
Yeah, she will be missed for sure.
Are you guys going to do a go out and hire somebody, or from within? I don't know if that's in our purview. I'm just curious.
Well, obviously, recruitment right now is very fun for everybody with all the requirements for social distancing. We're lucky enough to have somebody from the budget office that has had a couple of meetings with Renee, and she'll temporarily be filling in. And then at the meeting Anita and I were on this week, it sounds like Kristen's getting on the recruitment quickly.
Okay. Anything else? I feel like I'm in this spot every time now on these Zoom meetings. Are we planning on meeting next month? Do we have that date?
October 22nd.
Okay.
And yes, let's plan on it.
Okay.
I think it's
October 22nd.
We'll stay connected, and we'll look at the, I'll have on the agenda what we want to do over the holidays for our meetings, because they always fall. We typically combine. We don't want Thanksgiving. We don't typically combine them into one, and then we'll start into the budget meeting. So I'll have that on.
Okay. If If there's room on the agenda and people are interested, I can always have some images to share on the Rotary Pavilion, some updates. Sure, okay. All right. I think that's it. We will adjourn.
Good seeing you.
See you, everybody. Bye.